The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
And now, of course, it's time for What to Watch, and I am joined as ever in studio by entertainment journalist Serena Bellissimo and John Farty, presenter of Screen Time. Hello, happy Holy Thursday, guys.
Hello.
Happy Holy Thursday to you too.
And we'll come to you first, John. What have you got for us?
So this launched on Netflix in the middle of the week. Lots of people are watching. I think last night when I checked, didn't check this morning, sorry, far too busy, but last night it was number one in movies, even though it's kind of a TV show on Netflix. It's called Untold. There's this series on Netflix, they subtitle it Untold, these kind of exposés of things. The Death and Life of Lamar. I forgot his surname.
Odam.
Yeah. Now, people may know this. He was married to Khloe Kardashian. He was an amazing basketball player.
You're saying was. Isn't he still alive?
Oh, he is. Yes, oh, okay. But he was married. He was. He's very much alive. No, he's alive, very much in the building.
It's very Easterish. He's dead. Now he's alive.
Indeed. Blasphemous. I like it. So he was married to Khloe Kardashian, very famously. He also had a pretty complicated past, a lot of tragedy in his life. God bless him, I have to say, because some awful things happened. But he was a guy who couldn't quite control his demons. We've seen it a million times before. He had this titanic talent on the pitch, but off the pitch he wasn't great. Long story short, he ends up overdosing in a brothel in Nevada, and all hell breaks loose. The marriage goes sideways. I'm being a bit disingenuous, but that is what happened. But all the while, this was being played out on a TV show that he wanted called Khloe and Lamar, which you may remember. They broke up. He's now sitting in a chair in that Netflix way, recounting all of this. This is sleazy. It is a great watch, though, as a portrait of a man who should have known better. But you're kind of sympathetic to him, given through all he went through. And then he's given hatfuls of fame, hatfuls of cash, and just can't handle it. And I didn't think I would say this, because I'm no big fans of the Kardashians. But the person who comes out the nicest in all of this is Khloe Kardashian. She was 24. She was lying to the media, and she was in a fishbowl about how drug dependent he was at the time. And she seems to bear him very little ill will. So she is the hero of this piece. So I was surprised by how much I felt for her in this. It's a pretty good watch. It's an hour and 20 minutes.
I'm sold, but I just find it fascinating how some people, even very, very wealthy people, and maybe that's why they're wealthy, are so willing to live their lives so completely in the public eye, warts and all. Like most of us, I think our instinct is to keep our private stuff private, and yet these people.
And he wanted it more than her, this reveals. You think the Kardashians, they'll do anything, but he was the one saying, let's do a show, let's let the world in, you know. It's bizarre kind of stuff. You squint watching it a lot of the time, but it's a good watch.
Through your hands kind of thing.
Yeah,
ooh. What have you got for us, Serena?
I've got something completely different, video game based. It's called the Super Mario Galaxy movie. Basically, this is the first one did so well, they've decided to come back for a second. In this one, Princess Rosalina has been kidnapped by Bowser's son, Bowser Jr. Are you keeping up?
Yeah. I'm all over it.
Exactly. So they all come together with Princess Peaches as well, and they have to try and save Princess Rosalina while also... there's a friendship, a budding friendship with Bowser, but is he good? Is he bad?
Bad, surely.
There's a little bit of good because he's been held captured by Princess Peaches as well. So, but then he's reunited with his long lost son. Listen, this is getting a beating by critics. I was on Rotten Tomatoes earlier, 42%.
This is not for critics, though, presumably. This is for kids.
Exactly. The critics are giving it 42%. Mm-hmm. But you know what? This isn't made for you. And sometimes when you go in and review a movie, I think you have to review it with the audience in mind.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this yet. I'm actually going tomorrow with loads of kids and family members.
Perfect.
Can I just interject for a second? Because I completely get what Serena's saying, but I would counter that a great children's movie always has something for the adults.
Works as well. We're thinking,
you know,
Pixar.
And to me, there's a paucity of ideas in this, and it's a money grab. Because all over the world, in the Western world, there are families looking to do stuff with their kids. Oh, there's a Mario movie on. They could put any crap on that screen.
And they have.
People would go.
But do you know what? Sometimes I think it's okay for something to be directed just to the kids.
Did you bring kids?
I took two 10-year-olds and an 11-year-old.
And
the boys,
those critics.
Oh, they absolutely loved it. Like my 10-year-old son said, it was exciting and exhilarating and I'd watch it again. The 11-year-old was like, oh, I love that Yoshi was in it and Bowser Jr. so funny. I said, yeah. Well, what are you going to give this out of five? He gave it an infinity out of five.
That's He's also had word of the day toilet paper, clearly.
Infinity out of five is like the perfect review for a kid's movie. I totally get what you're saying. And there are those movies. And the one that always, I mean, there's the Toy Stories and all that. But, yeah. but the one that I always think that works really well for adults is The Incredibles. You know, the midlife crisis character, the dad, the mom being stretched in every direction, metaphorically as well as physically. Like, that's brilliant. But there is a place for, like, okay, we're just sitting through it because we're bringing our kids, isn't there?
There is, but I wonder, like, in 10 years' time, if we were all sitting here and we did a piece about the great children's movies of all time, would we put that in it? I have a feeling
probably not. But again, I still do think it has a place and a time. We don't...
Plus,
we don't
the weather is going to be crap this Easter.
Exactly.
What are you going to do with your kids?
You sound like one of those executives. Let's pile them in. Cigar chompers.
Do you know what? It's under 100 minutes as well, and it has that... hecticness.
At least it's short.
Yes, and it has that hecticness of the video game
damning
world.
With faint praise.
But look, the kids, we may give it faint praise, but the kids are giving it huge praise. So if you have Mario fans in your life, go see this.
And we're down with the kids, of course, here on The Hard Shoulder. And what else have you got for us, John?
So there is a great dividing critics, it's fair to say, on Netflix called Something Very Bad Is Going to Happen. This was getting a few column inches because it's the Duffer Brothers who gave us Stranger Things, and this is their first thing post Stranger Things, which probably took over their life. So they're glad to be doing something else. And this is a real change of pace. This is a kind of meet the in-laws with a real creepy horror vibe to it. Camila Morone is going to meet her in-laws. She's going to marry this guy played by Adam DeMarco. And she's off, they're clearly very rich, and they're off in kind of middle America in the snowy hills. And even en route to meeting them in the house, weird things are happening. They stop at a rest stop and there's a peeping Tom in the bathroom. There's a letter left for her and she sees on the back of it, it says, don't marry him. So slightly creepy things are
happening. I'm already scared, which makes me think maybe I do want to watch it because it sounds... actually really suspenseful and ominous and all the things that frighten me and put me off but also draw me in.
It's really good. And my wife watches a lot of this stuff with me, has a low tolerance for horror, but she was like, this is really good and it's creepy and I'm not sure I want to watch it, but I can't stop watching it. When she meets the in-laws, they are really strange people. I don't want to give too much away, but he has a sister who's married, or a brother who's married. He's really weird. There is this strange grandchild around the place. This is a spoiler, but it'll give you a sense of it. Her wedding dress disappears and suddenly is hanging in a forest somewhere. Pleasingly creepy. And they kind of have a Hammer horror vibe to it. And out of nowhere, red letters appear on the screen out of nowhere. I really like this. Not everyone is loving it, but I'm creeped out by it. I'm only five episodes in and my wife is creeped out as well. She is a lot living with me, obviously.
I was a big fan of Hammer Horrors back in the day.
Yeah. There's a touch of that about it in a modern kind of way. I think you'll like it.
Ooh.
No.
Serena's... I am scared, but also weirdly drawn. That's part of my problem in life. Serena?
I'm quite shocked that I enjoyed this. I watched it more as I'm going to do my husband a favour and make him sit through my work and watch something he might like. This is Rory McIlroy, The Master's Wait. I can't believe that The Master's is on next Thursday. I think it's Thursday to Sunday. So this is perfect if you're wanting to get excited about The Master's. I don't like golf. Like, I will probably watch from hole 17 onwards. That's when it sort of starts getting exciting. So I didn't think I'd enjoy this. This basically looks at the last 14 years and Rory's attempt to try and win The Master's, that elusive Grand Slam that he's been chasing. And it's literally a hole-by-hole, shot-by-shot thing, but they've done it so well. It comes in at an hour and 21 minutes. It's not just that fateful day in, am I right to say, Augusta?
Augusta,
yeah. Yep.
It's more than that. It also looks at his life, like growing up. Now, it's Rory McIlroy, so he's not going to give you everything, right?
But yeah, so is this one of these documentaries that the person makes themselves and are not remote? So we're not going to hear like the on-off divorce or none of that?
We're not going to hear any of that. But why this is interesting is you do hear how a golfer's mind works. So if you're into that, and like I knew the outcome. Like, I knew how it was all going to end. And I was still like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. Oh my God, is he going to win? Brian, tell me that he wins. It's like, you know what happens. It was still...
So it's well edited or put together.
It's so well done. Now, halfway through, I'm like, oh, Brian, I'm over this. It's like, oh no, if you're a golf fan, you're going to love this. By the end, I was crying.
Wow.
I got emotional by it.
Are you actually joking me?
No, it was so well done. I love that his parents were in it as well. So Rosie, and I can't remember his dad's name, but, you know, they talk about their sacrifices.
Yeah,
pride,
they worked several jobs, didn't they, and all that kind of stuff.
But they're not stage parents. So even in talking about this, it's not about them. It's not about their sacrifices. They just did it because let's just give it a go.
Yeah.
And I loved everything about this. Am I a convert? Am I going to be watching the Masters on the 9th of April? No. Will I be watching on the Sunday, maybe hole 17? Yes. But this is a great documentary.
Well, and that's saying something considering you're not particularly interested in it. So that does say something. John?
Yes, so there is something very heavy on the BBC, but I have to mention it. But there's caution advised, and this is getting like 5-star reviews. People are calling it a gift. It's called Babies. 2 episodes were on the BBC on Sunday and Monday night, or Monday and Tuesday night, and it's weekly. Our own Siobhan Cullen, brilliant actress, is in it as well, opposite Papa Esidou. And they play this couple who have been 6 years together, and they are going through miscarriage and pregnancy loss. And it's about them and how they negotiate that and another couple against them. And the reason why I say caution advised, if you are in that space, you're currently trying for a child or something like that is in your life, this is probably not for you, or maybe it is. It is spine-tinglingly beautiful and tragic at times. I feel myself getting vaguely emotional even talking about it. I think anyone who has had children and not everyone will be affected by this, but it is very hard to watch at times. When they go to get the 12-week scan and stuff, it is heartbreaking and it is tough to watch. So I am saying this is one of the greatest pieces of TV of the year so far.
Yeah.
But caution advised, it is tough going.
Yeah, there it might be deeply upsetting for some people, I would imagine.
Far too upsetting, I would imagine. You know, but it is worthy TV, and this is why we have things like the BBC, public service broadcasting, just to remind people of they do the state some service, despite all the bad stuff we hear about them.
At the same time, sometimes you need these things to feel seen.
Sure,
sometimes
absolutely.
It makes you feel seen.
Yeah.
And also, sometimes you're getting the release. It is, I'm not taking away from the fact that it's a really hard watch.
Yeah.
No, you're making very valid points. Some people will watch this just to feel represented and to see their own stories more or less. I totally get that too. And I think I might give it a miss. But I think it might be quite a hard watch.
Yeah.
Serena, have you anything else?
Okay, something completely different.
We're jumping around this evening, guys. Yeah, I like it.
There's a lot of variety. It's called Mike and Nick and Nick and Alice. It's about, there's 4 names in there, but you'll notice that 2 have been repeated. There's 3 stars. The stars are Vince Vaughn, James Marsden, Isa Gonzalez, and Vince Vaughn. This is a gangster, I never thought I'd say this sentence. It's a gangster time travel comedy action thriller, right? So it's something
I'm sort of none the wiser, but okay.
Yeah. So basically Vince Vaughn plays 2 Nicks. He plays future Nick and present Nick.
Ah.
And Mike is his best friend and Isa is his wife. But now Nick and Mike are also involved in a love triangle with Isa. But it's more than that. They come back to this one fateful night where all of a sudden they realise that Mike is in trouble and they need to save his life. That's all I'm going to say. What I will say as well is this is just pure madness. If you want...
In a good way.
Yes, in a silly, like, if you're just looking for, will this go down as one of the best comedy action dramas ever? No. Will it go down as some fluff while it's raining outside and you just want to sit on your couch and watch and be entertained? Yeah. The reason why this silly film works is because of Vince Vaughn, Isa Gonzalez, and James Marsden. There's something about the 3 of them that I will watch them in anything. They're charismatic.
I always think Vince Vaughn is kind of underused.
He is, isn't he?
And he's terrific.
Isn't it like the vulnerability that shines through, and it doesn't matter what character he's playing, I will fall in love with him. I love as well, and this is going to sound mad, but in this as well, there's arguments about the Gilmore Girls. Like, and I love that. Proper gangsters arguing about the Gilmore Girls. There's also some cameos from, I have to admit, I let out a bit of a, can't believe it, Dolph Lundgren, who plays Drago in Rocky IV. He has an extended cameo. You've got Emily Hampshire, who plays Stevie in Schitt's Creek, and Ben Schwartz, who was in Parks and Rec. So they're scattered throughout this as well. Look, it's stupid. If you're going in expecting like this really intense film, you're not getting it. But if you want something silly, there's a lot of shoot 'em up car chase scenes as well in this.
And that's on Disney?
Disney. And again, under 2 hours, everybody.
There's been a shift. I think they've been listening to everyone going, stop with these ridiculously long movies. John, can you lastly give an honourable mention to The Faraway Tree?
The Magic
Faraway Tree. My favourite book when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, they've taken a couple of those books and turned it into this delightful story. And, you know, I won't reignite the debate about something in it for adults and kids, but this definitely has something in it for adults because Andrew Garfield and Claire Foy have to move to the country, but they realise this is going to be a way to get their kids off devices and explore nature and maybe themselves.
Oh, it's kind of modernised then.
Yeah, and then they find a strange place where Nicola Coughlan, who was on last week's Screen Time talking about it, is this pixie-like character with a lot of other people, and they take them on pixie-like adventures in this magic faraway tree. It's absolutely delightful. I thought it was a really good kids movie. Now, I saw without children. I saw it at a press screening. So
I think I might end up seeing it without children too. My children are far too old for this, but I still remember Moonface and all these characters.
Moonface, terrific in it. So if you love that book, I think you will smile.
I read those
this.
Books. There was a bunch of them and I read them all like multiple, you know, when we were kids, you only had a few books.
Yes,
so
indeed.
I read them all multiple times. Like the whole thing under your duvet with a flashlight and all that business.
You should go and see this then. It's still in your local cinema.
I think I'm going to. Guys, you've given me some great, and all our listeners too, some great possibilities, particularly for this bad weather Easter weekend. Thank you so much to Serena Bellissimo and John Fardy. John, tell us about Screen Time this weekend.
Yes, there's a fascinating new book out called The Last Kings of Hollywood, all about Scorsese, Lucas and Coppola and how they hated each other but loved each other and changed cinema entirely. So I'm talking to the author of that, amongst other things.
Of course you are. Absolutely fabulous. Do tune into that. But that is our lot for myself and Shane from this evening here on The Hard Shoulder. Happy Holy Thursday. Have a wonderful bank holiday weekend. We will be back with The Hard Shoulder next Tuesday. Seems like ages away, 4 p.m. Other than that, stay safe, everybody, and enjoy yourselves.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.